Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you with our partners over there at WrestleZone.com. I'm Matt. I'm a fan. You're a fan. Let's hang out and talk. Lots to talk about this week, but we're going to make most of the show today an interview. Of course, this is the last weekly Total Engagement because we're going daily starting next week during StarCast Weekend. Daily shows of Total Engagement, short bits of wrestling podcasts to start your day off. Go ahead and subscribe today over on iTunes and get ready for a one-of-a-kind daily dose of wrestling news, watch-alongs, interviews, fun stuff from one fan to another. And of course, lots of news this week. Shivani got hired by AEW, which to me is the best news ever. NXT moved to USA to counter-program against AEW, big news as well. And today, there's news of a wrestling podcast network started by the WWE. And I had some takes on all this stuff, but I think you guys would rather listen to interview with Conrad Thompson. Of course, Conrad and I go way back, and we had a really good conversation, a really good interview, and I think you'd rather listen to him talk about this stuff. It's a pretty enlightening interview today on Total Engagement to celebrate our last weekly show. Again, we're going daily starting next week, StarCast Weekend. Lots of fun stuff coming up. Please go on the journey with us. Follow us over on Twitter at Total Engage Show. Of course, you can follow me, Matt Kuhn, at Matt Kuhn Music. Coming up, Conrad Thompson on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. Joining us, of course, is Conrad Thompson. You know him as the host of four of your favorite podcasts, as well as the guy behind StarCast. Conrad, we just talked about how busy your day was. What did you do today?
I did a lot, my friend. I woke up at 5 a.m. and took a shower and went ahead and got dressed and planned for my regular day job, the mortgage biz. And then I sprinted over to my computer and knocked out not one, but two marathon podcasts, 6 hours of podcasting with Bruce this morning.
Jesus.
And then raced across town because I had a new recruit in from Denver to talk about coming to work with us at the mortgage company. And then I finished that up and went to the office and cut some more spots and then put up a sale for StarCast and did some research for my three shows that I'm taping tomorrow and made sure I had all the logistics right with Fight for our broadcast next week and then booked some airfare and juggled some schedules for talent and made supper. It's been a day, but this is what you do the week before convention week, right?
Well, apparently so. And it's getting old hat for you. It's the third time. Hope it's easier, but something you left out is that you actually had a media conference call today, right?
Oh yeah. How about this? I totally forgot about that. Derek, who handles all the StarCast stuff like that, sent me a message and he said, "Hey, you're on this call in a half hour." And I was like, "Nope, I'm on a recruit. Just handle it." And he's like, "Well, I mean, you're kind of the host." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, the media call." I was like, "Okie doke." So I didn't want it to sound terrible. So I had to rush home in the middle of the day and in my monkey suit and knock that out and then head back to the office. So up, down, all around. But yeah, as you said, it's getting a little easier. This is the third one. And it's not nearly as stressful as the first one or the second one. I've learned a lot, and this one's been a little easier to plan.
Well, while you're working, there's another big day in news and wrestling. WWE announced a podcast venture with Endeavor. They're going to have podcasts, they said, probably involving some current talent. And you said something to the effect of, you know, it's been a long time coming. They should have been in the podcast business already and that you don't really know anything about it. But is it something that took you by surprise?
No. I mean, they've hinted at this a long time ago. You know, if you remember, gosh, maybe 2 years ago now, they sent out a survey saying, I've earned this one. Hang on. They sent out a survey saying, "Hey, what would you like to see on the network? Would you be interested in more podcasts and things like that?" So I knew that was sort of, you know, in their wheelhouse and something they were looking at. And then of course they put Bruce and I on the network. So I knew they were at least interested in it and it continued to grow, but the wrestling podcast bubble sort of burst a while back. And, you know, once upon a time, people were boasting crazy numbers, and it turns out maybe a lot of those were fabricated, not because they're dishonest wrestling people, not to say that wrestling people are dishonest. I'm just saying they weren't being dishonest, but the company who was providing those metrics, they were bogus. And once that sort of all collapsed, it didn't just affect wrestling podcasts. It affected podcasts everywhere. And one company in particular was gutted. So there was sort of a run on the bank, and everybody went to Westwood One thinking, you know, oh, there's money in them, their heels. And slowly but surely, a lot of those shows have went belly up. And, you know, the golden era of, hey, you're going to print money doing a wrestling podcast, that's not reality. And the ones who have survived are the ones who are doing it either for the love of the game or are doing really, really big numbers. And there's really nowhere in between. And I think WWE is smart to be in this space. They can promote it through all their social media. They can promote it through their television. And, you know, obviously they're going to do, you know, no matter what anybody thinks, they're going to do live podcasts at Access and things like that. And that seems kind of familiar. But yeah, I think it's good that they're doing it. And I knew they were planning to do something, and they sort of teased that they were going to head this direction a few months ago. I think there was like an investor symposium or something, and they mentioned that they were looking at the podcast space, and I'm excited that they're getting in it. It's going to be an interesting time in the podcast game. And most of all, I'm looking forward to beating all of their shows. So yeah, that'll be good.
I mean, they can't be understated that you personally had an influence on this decision, whether it be seeing how you made podcasting successful in terms of a business, but also you and Bruce being on the network, you guys changing the industry, getting some people hired. There's no doubt, I think, in a lot of fans' mind that Conrad is an influence. Wouldn't they be best served maybe talking to you and getting involved with you and maybe consulting with you on how to really make their podcast more successful?
Well, I mean, you know, that's nice of you to say, and I appreciate that, but no, they're WWE. You know, they don't need me to promote it on their TV. They don't need me to promote it, you know, on their social media. So no, I don't think I'm necessary to that situation. I do think I'll be the alternative, or I'll be one of the alternatives, but there's so many great wrestling podcasts out there. You know, it's going to be really challenging to figure out what they can, or what they will do. You know, like, they're creating so much new content now between Raw and SmackDown and NXT and 205 Live. There's just so much content to keep up with already. If they're going to have a continuation of those same storylines and same characters and same conversation, I don't know that there is a major need for that. But if they're going to do something that sort of mirrors what format I've been using, I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think they should, if I was WWE, I would rip off some of that for sure. You know, and it's weird that they've sort of left the barn door open a little bit. You know, Eric Bischoff's got his podcast that's, you know, hashtag humble brag, super successful. So does Bruce Pritchard, and Jerry Lawler has had a podcast, and I think he's about to start another one. That's the rumor and innuendo. And we know that Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins are, and I mean, a lot of that stuff just makes sense that you would do that. And you could also, you know, I think some podcasts have figured this out, but man, there's so much money on YouTube that I think you could do really, really well just putting these podcasts on YouTube. I mean, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, for instance, they have a great show, but it's about action figures. If you could see the whole thing and WWE promoted it and positioned it properly, and I haven't talked to those guys, they're good guys, but man, that would be huge for them, you know, because that adds a whole nother level, you know, to sort of see these things. And if you put WWE promotion and production behind it, it could be really, really big, because not only would it be good for those guys, you know, as far as bonding with the audience and expanding their brand, but they would also be selling WWE merchandise in the process and really doing a lot of, you know, so gathering a lot of data and market research and feedback from, you know, what fans were into and what they were clamoring for. And then you have a real idea of, you know, if you did like a limited run with some sort of new merch that was just available for that podcast as like a flash opportunity, if it sold out quickly, then you could say, oh, well, let's do a bigger run of that and make the investment. So I think there's going to be a lot of those sort of, hey, we're going to use the podcast, not really to sell ads, but to just further promote our stuff, which is clearly what they're aiming for. I don't think they want to have Roman Reigns talking about Blue Chew. I think they want to sort of check some other boxes and be vertically integrated with all their other revenue streams.
Well, it's a crazy time to be a wrestling fan, everything going on. And now with the podcast, now there's competition in podcasts. I mean, who would have thought WWE would have, you know, a family of podcasts that they're probably going to start. You've got four going on five. It's people get swept away in the negativity, but it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. As a wrestling fan, what's something that you like right now in wrestling?
Everything. You know, as you said, there's just so much. Like, I'm loving the build for All Out, and I'm super excited for the All Out show. But I thought SummerSlam had some good stuff. I think Raw and SmackDown have been good lately. I'm super excited about MLW. I think there's a lot of independent talent that's getting discovered. You know, Orange Cassidy comes to mind. Mance Warner comes to mind. I think Mance is probably the next big name to break out. And I haven't been proven wrong yet on that, in that every old school wrestling fan, or for that matter, new school wrestling fan that I show Mance Warner stuff to, they're like, oh, I fucking like this guy. What's his name again? And so, you know, he's going to be one of the next guys. And just a few years ago, nobody was talking about Mance. And, you know, now everything's just on a much bigger scale. You know, Game Changer Wrestling is cool. It's like the cool underground indie, and to a lesser extent, Black Label Pro. And I know they have a lot of commonality, but I mean, just look at All Out Weekend. You've got AEW, you've got Rise, you've got Warrior Wrestling, and you got Game Changer. There's just a lot of choices, and there's lots of good stuff out there. If you're an unhappy wrestling fan right now, it's because you're trying to be unhappy. There is something for you out there. You've just got to go looking for it. And I don't know if you saw, but AEW, you know, doing their junket or press or whatever they did today in the old 605 studios.
Wow.
Lord, what a freaking cool time to be a wrestling fan. You know, whether you're into the new stuff or you grew up on the old stuff, or you're just hopeful for what the future may be, there's literally something for everybody. And I'm excited about it, man. I mean, by the way, nobody's talking about this, but New Japan's got a show next weekend too, and it's in London. Right, and I know everybody's right. all out crazy right now, and I get it, and roll tight on that. But let's not forget that New Japan has been smoking with the G1 and all the great matches that we saw there, and they're going to have a show in London that weekend. So lots of really, really cool stuff, and Impact even has been making some headlines. I enjoyed, and I know it's not popular to say, but I enjoyed the Sami Callihan, Tessa Blanchard match that they presented as a main event a few weeks ago. I don't normally, you know, see every episode of Impact, but I saw that pay-per-view, and man, that was different. That was fun. I dug it.
Yeah, it was an excellent match. One of many great organizations. Now, you mentioned GCW, you mentioned Impact. All these organizations, everybody's making a lot of the Wednesday Night War. NXT moving to Wednesday nights isn't really the best case scenario here, is that this is going to propel a bigger audience for all these companies. Like, all this infrastructure is in place now for all these different companies all over the country. The audience isn't necessarily there right now. It's a very dedicated group of fans that watch a lot of stuff. Do you think that this Wednesday Night War, so to speak, is just going to benefit everybody, and the audience is going to grow to meet the quality of all these awesome organizations?
I don't know how much the audience is going to grow. I understand why WWE is doing this on Wednesday. And I think I read that they're getting like $600,000 a week, to do it. So they're going to be profitable in doing it, even with the added production costs. And if I'm programming that show, I'm going to program it with guys like Nakamura and Samoa Joe and Finn Balor and the Club. And like, hey, if you were watching that other show because you wanted to see the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, well, hey, we got some of your New Japan guys over here that you like too. So to me, it's a great opportunity for the boys, and it's a great opportunity for the fans. But I don't know that there's anybody who's going to pop up on that Wednesday show for WWE where people are like, oh, you can't miss it, because those talents are already on Raw and SmackDown, and nobody's saying that.
there's a lot of talent on NXT, but maybe not any difference makers, so to speak. Do you think it being so different, you know, the differentiation between NXT and the other main event rosters, do you think that's going to make the difference? Maybe people will be attracted to that entertaining of a show, or is it just merely about who's on it, the stars who are on it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's going to be the name is what's going to draw. I mean, people tuned into Raw because they wanted to see what Stone Cold would do. They tuned into Nitro because they wanted to see what the NWO was going to do. They tuned into Nitro to see Bill Goldberg. But who is sort of going to step up and be the breakout star if it's not an outside influence? I don't know that they're going to come in droves. You know, they may, some of the people from Raw or SmackDown may check it out, but I would be fucking shocked if NXT comes out and has a better rating than Raw or SmackDown. I just don't see how that's even remotely possible unless they do the unthinkable and bring back, you know, some names or have some big signings or whatever that aren't there now. And if they do that, then perhaps then there's an opportunity. But, you know, I just don't think there are that many more wrestling fans who are sort of casual fans or lapsed fans or fans who don't watch every week. And they're just dying to see, oh, wow, I've seen Sami Zayn on Monday, but what's he going to do on Wednesday?
Right.
No disrespect to Sami, but I just don't think that people are going to turn out in droves for that because they've already had it. It's got to be something different. And certainly the presentation of NXT will be different, but I still think people, and I go to this as my go-to, my dad, if you get my dad to watch, you've done something. So when Conor McGregor was fighting pretty regularly and routinely, dad would come to my office and he'd say, hey, so that Conor guy, he's fighting this weekend, right? Yeah. Are you getting it? Yeah. Can me and your mama come over? Yeah. Okay, cool. See you Saturday. And the last time he did that was Ronda Rousey. And the time before that he did it before that was when Brock was on top. But, you know, you've got to have somebody who sort of breaks through. And when they ran a commercial a few weeks ago that Stone Cold was going to be on Raw, dad knew, he noticed, and he's like, hey, so Stone Cold's on Raw and Hulk Hogan, what's going on? He's not going to notice, you know, some of the other names that don't really transcend wrestling. Like if you're a wrestling fan, you know that Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan, I mean, those are some of the very best wrestlers in the world. No arguing that at all. However, you know, would my dad know who they are? Probably not. So I don't know that he's necessarily going to be in tune with that. And you could say, oh, just because your dad knows the old guys. Well, you know, he just knows stars. And if you have star quality outside of WWE, then yeah, maybe people will tune in. If The Rock shows up on NXT, motherfucker, yeah, they're going to pop a number.
Well, right now, a star that everybody's talking about, and you've been asked about every interview you've done, is CM Punk, because CM Punk is the guy who you're kind of hanging your flag on for this third StarCast, maybe the biggest get of any StarCast. You've answered a bunch of questions, and you said today, you said that anybody who orders All Out and expecting CM Punk to be there would be disappointed if that's what they're waiting for. Hypothetically, though, how much of a difference maker would a CM Punk be for AEW?
I think it would be huge for SmackDown. It would be huge for NXT. It would be huge for AEW. It would be huge for MLW. It would be huge for Ring of Honor. And what's fascinating about this too, CM Punk's wrestled for MLW. CM Punk has wrestled for Impact. CM Punk has wrestled for Ring of Honor. CM Punk, I mean, he's checked almost all the boxes. And, you know, I'm not saying that's what motivates him. I'm not pretending to know him or anything like that. I'm just saying he's sort of done all of this already. And so now you got to think if he's someone who's concerned with legacy, and maybe he's not, maybe he's totally over wrestling. I don't know. We'll find out next week, I suppose. But once upon a time, the rumor and innuendo is he really, really was fixated on the WrestleMania main event. I don't know that for sure. I've never talked to him about it, but I've certainly read and heard that that was something that was important to him. So if that is the motivator, and not necessarily the money, just he wanted to sort of accomplish that as a goal. He wanted to check the box. You got to wonder, like, what else is there for him to do at this point? Like, okay, he could go work a New Japan tour. Okay. Maybe they would give him the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. That would still probably feel like a consolation prize from WrestleMania. And I mean, maybe that would be a motivator. I don't know, but maybe sticking up Vince's ass is what he wants to do on AEW and debut on the first show. But if you saw his interview a few weeks ago, he said, you know, he's a different guy now. He didn't feel that way anymore. And so I don't know what his motivation is. And I'm, if I'm honest with you, I don't think I want him to do something he doesn't want to do. And I know that, you know, he wants to do StarCast, and that's like the greatest compliment I could get. I mean, I'm super excited about that, and I think it'll be a huge success and people will dig it and it'll be a lot of fun and it'll be great. But at the same time, if he doesn't want to do it, let's just let him be retired. What's wrong with him being sort of the Barry Sanders of wrestling?
I was, you know, just thinking that today, Barry Sanders of wrestling. I was just thinking that.
Cause that's what he is. Right, you know, I mean, Barry Sanders, if you're mine and your age, Barry Sanders is the greatest running back of our lifetime. And people would argue and say, oh, well, Emmitt this, Emmitt that. Man, fuck off. Go watch a tape of Barry Sanders and tell me that's not the greatest performer you've ever seen.
And that is our respect of him for having the wherewithal just to walk away.
Well, not just that, but I think, you know, Emmitt sort of hung around maybe longer than he should have. And Joe Montana maybe hung around longer than he should have. And so you see, like, Brett Favre probably hung around longer than he should have. So it really stands out when somebody's like, nope, I'm going out on top.
Love it.
And Muhammad Ali couldn't do that. Michael Jordan couldn't do that. And Chuck Liddell couldn't do that. There's so many examples of guys who couldn't do that. And when Punk left, Punk was, you know, one of the tippy top guys. And that's really cool that he wants to be sort of the Barry Sanders of wrestling. So, and I'm not saying, again, I don't know him. He's doing this booking with me, and I'm sure people read into, oh, well, that must mean y'all are, no, we're not. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's been pleasant to deal with, but we haven't like hung out or anything. And so I don't know what his motivation is. I just know that if he doesn't want to do it, I'm kind of okay with him being the Barry Sanders of wrestling. Because when I go back, I first became a CM Punk fan watching a promo from him in Ring of Honor. I saw it in 04. It may have been the promo may have been from 03, but he was cutting a promo in what looked like the basement of the Murphy Rec Center about Raven and how he, you know, you remind me of my father. He was an alcoholic who threw away, and you had all these opportunities and you threw it away. And for what? And for booze and for pills and for money and for women. And it was just like, oh, okay. This guy, this one, he was really just pushing straight edge. And it was like, okay, this is, I can get behind this. I get it. And I saw the promo before I saw the matches, and the matches have always sort of been secondary to me. You got to make me care first. And like, my wife is like that with football. You know, she'll watch football and she'll get into it a little bit because I'm into it. But when she saw Hard Knocks for the first time, it added a new layer, like, oh, these are real guys and there's a real story here. And it added, you know, a new dimension. And I think that's what Punk did very, very well. And I think that's the reason he stuck out to so many people, like your son. I mean, your son probably loves the go to sleep and, you know, the Anaconda Vice, and he probably likes all those, you know, things that Punk introduced. But at the same time, he probably was pulled in based on the story and the promo. And if that's something that he wants to do, I can't imagine that many people would be able to do it better.
For sure. As you know, we're going to StarCast in a large part because of CM Punk, because my son, it's his favorite wrestler of all time. It might be his only time to ever meet him. He told me he's still got 3 posters of CM Punk up at his mom's house. And this is a kid who's 17, who saw him just for a little bit before he left. So he still resonates. He's still a cool factor. And those people are in short order these days. Speaking of short order, you know, Tony Schiavone is somebody who is a rare talent and a rare human being. And it seems like years ago that Tony Schiavone was announced that he was with AEW, because it's been such a busy week. You watch Bruce go back, great friend of yours. You worked with Eric Bischoff and gave him a successful podcast. He went back. Is the Tony one, though, considering your rapport on your podcast, and is the Tony one kind of special to you, though, that he's back in wrestling now?
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm a big fan of Tony Schiavone and have been forever. And, you know, the idea that he sort of walked away from wrestling and felt like, you know, there's no place for him anymore and no one cared, and maybe wrestling had deserted him or he had turned his back on it or whatever. He was estranged from wrestling, and to see that he's back in it and having fun and making money and doing well and now making news, it's a cool thing. I can't say that it's any cooler than Bruce Pritchard, though. I mean, Bruce was completely out of wrestling and, you know, wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And I brought him back into it sort of kicking and screaming. And now he's, at the fucking table, man. And right. You know, I don't know how this keeps happening, but Eric Bischoff too. Like, Eric thought there's no chance he'd ever work in wrestling again. I mean, we had a lot of conversations about it, and he had so much fun with the podcast, and it caught on, and an opportunity presented itself, and holy shit, man, all of a sudden I'm surrounded by power players now.
But beyond the power players, you started these podcasts because you're a wrestling fan. You like doing things that are successful. You like being innovative and creative and entertaining people. But you've changed people's lives, like, for real. Is that something that resonates with you at all?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that it's weird to talk about on a podcast, but that's the best part of the whole thing, you know. But that's been the case with me and my real life too. You know, I've been able to recruit people from other walks of life and teach them the mortgage business, and, you know, their lives are forever changed. And so, you know, I've helped people who maybe were making, you know, $60,000-$70,000 before, and now they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a few years later because they've learned a new skill and doubled down on it. And it's greatly improved the quality of their life. You know, they don't have credit card debt and they don't have car loans, and, you know, they're about to pay their house off. And, you know, these little financial milestones that maybe once upon a time were out of reach, you know, now they have some real financial peace, and it's better their entire family. And the idea that some of that I really enjoyed and was the best part of my real life, I get to do with my hobby of wrestling podcasts. That's pretty cool, man, because that's definitely been the case for Bruce and now Eric and now Tony. And yeah, I mean, it's super rewarding. It's the best part of the entire process for sure.
That's awesome, man. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. You talked about your busy day, and I don't think you could have envisioned it ending out worse than talking to me tonight, but I thank you for it. But next week you're at StarCast. StarCast, if you don't have tickets, is available on Fight TV. Tell us what's going on with StarCast next week.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. We've got a lot of fun shows planned. If you're going to be there in person, you'll get access to the second stage, which is the pavilion. And we're going to do a watch along for AEW's Double or Nothing. We're going to do StarCast karaoke with Tony Schiavone. We've got Paving the Way with Medusa. I bet you skipped that one. We got Talent on the Rise. We got Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. We've got Game Changer. They're going to sit down and go over the secrets of Spring Break. So it's like a Botchamania with just highlights and clips from Spring Break, and an up and coming podcast that's kind of an interesting concept called the Payoff Pod, where they're going to actually watch an old match with a superstar who was involved and sort of get their take on it, and then do a Q&A. That should be fun. And then we got some comedy from Taylor Williamson and DDP Yoga, and of course the All Out Viewing Party and Janella Palooza with fucking Tone Loke. So if you're there, that's cool, man. Check it out at StarCast.com. But if you can't make it, then you can watch everything happening on the main stage on Fight, which is a Being the Elite mailbag and the All Out press conference, and a panel with Tony Schiavone interviewing Cody Rhodes. And we're calling that From Undesirable to Undeniable. We've got a Dean Malenko show, the Women of AEW show, the Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana show. Unfortunately, I'm contractually obligated to do the Lifestyles of Rich and Famous MJF, Wrestling with Stereotypes, which is going to be something a lot of people are going to be enlightened about. And Moxley's probably the hottest star in the business. He'll be talking to Jim Ross and telling his story. And for a little late night funny ha-ha, we got Cock of the Talk with Joey Ryan. But Saturday's the day I'm looking forward to the most. Mick Foley on stage, his very first StarCast appearance, doing his one-man show. And then arguably the main event, the thing that people thought would never happen, is happening. CM Punk at StarCast. And you can join all the fun at StarCastOnFight.com.
This time, are you going to leave the office and get to enjoy any of these panels? Are you going to get to watch anything this time? Because I believe last time you didn't get to experience any of StarCast.
Yeah, I got to experience very little. I'm hoping to watch the Cody show, and I'm hoping to watch the Moxley show, and I'm hoping to watch the Punk show. I'd love to see them all, but those are all sort of late enough in the day where all the running around should kind of be done and handled. And so at that point, I'm hoping that I can, you know, take the headset off and go chill out in the back row somewhere and maybe have a cocktail or two and be entertained. You know, Cody was a human quote machine, a soundbite machine at StarCast 2, and I don't expect it to be any different here. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Moxley shows up, you know, the night before one of the biggest matches of his career. He's in the main event with Kenny Omega, who a lot of people believe is one of the best wrestlers in the world, or maybe ever. And he's probably got something he wants to prove, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. And so he may not be in the best of moods just 24 hours prior to that. So that could be interesting, but the world's going to stand still on Saturday, man. Nobody knows for sure what CM Punk's going to say. I don't know that he knows what it, maybe he's been itching to say something for 5 years and now he's got the platform. But, you know, in my negotiations with him, we sort of went back and forth about, you know, what did we want to do? And I always wanted him on stage, but in an effort just to try to make a deal work, you know, I presented, well, hey, what if we didn't do that? And what if it was just meet and greets? And he didn't want to do that. He wanted this mic in his hand. So that makes me think he wants to get something off his chest. There's something he wants to say. And that's probably going to go two ways. He's probably going to want to talk about the past with WWE, and he's probably going to want to talk about the future and what that may or may not look like with AEW or New Japan or MLW or Ring of Honor or none of the above. And no matter what it is, it's going to be newsworthy. I can guarantee that.
Well, one thing's for sure. If you want to check out the StarCast CM Punk Pipe Bomb, as well as all those other shows Conrad talked about, StarCast on fight.com. And Conrad, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show. Thank you so much, and get some rest, man.
Well, I don't need any rest, man. I'm feeling energized. This is the shortest podcast appearance I think I've ever done. So I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my time. I mean, usually when somebody asks me on, I get like a whole hour, and you're jobbing me out here. So I'm getting like... Well, the real favor would have been if you hadn't have asked. Hey, so let me ask, where is this going to air? I mean, are people actually going to hear this? Because if your name's on it, I don't think people are listening, right?
It's on the MLW radio network, where a lot of fine podcasts got their start.
No, I'm not arguing that. So is this still the Vince Russo show? Is Vince on in just a minute? Is he? Hey, Vince, are you there?
I can't thank Conrad enough for doing that interview. And speaking on a personal note, I think one thing I'm blessed to do in my life is to believe in someone and to believe in kids. I work with kids all day, and the biggest and easiest gift you can give somebody is to believe in somebody. And Conrad Thompson, I will forever be indebted to for believing in me and seeing value in the things that I did beyond being a guitar player or beyond being a teacher, a different part of my personality, a different set of skills that I had that no one ever saw before. And I can't thank Conrad enough for that. But if I'm being honest, we went on a bit longer than that. We did about 30 more minutes where most of the things were insults from him to me. And we're going to save some of that. There's some really funny stuff on there. And we're going to save that for the daily shows, which are coming up next week, starting StarCast weekend. Subscribe today to get your one-of-a-kind daily dose of wrestling podcast experience from Total Engagement. Please check it out. Tell a friend. Thank you very much for listening today. We're growing every single week. We did a little test run of the daily shows over the summer, and the numbers were incredible, and I have you to thank for that. Please come up to me at StarCast and say hello. As Conrad told me in the later part of the interview, if you see me and Matthew together, we look like the number 10. So you can come up and you could just say hello to us and greet us, and we'll see you next week, our first daily show on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.